I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And welcome to Dice and Roll, the queerest half-hour podcast on the planet. We ask the hard questions like, if we have the Ruby Phoenix, what other gemstone creatures exist in Galarian?
The Diamond Dickheads.
Now that's a team name. Now that is a team
good.
Name.
That's can pretty good.
Can we go back and like replace anytime we say Radiant Winds with the Diamond Dickheads?
You can do that, but every time you have to do it with like
no,
sound file.
Hold up. It's the other team name that people give the Lightbringers.
You're not wrong about
Diamond
that
Dickheads
at all.
Does kind of suit them, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does suit them really well.
So the question asker has given a few options, like the Sapphire Dragon, the Onyx Tortoise, the Pearlescent Tiger.
Yeah, all very good.
What classes would these people be?
Ooh.
Because like Ruby Phoenix is a mighty powerful sorcerer.
The what tiger?
The Pearlescent Tiger.
The Pearlescent Tiger. I don't know.
Tigers have always been monk to me.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose maybe that is that to me. I think that's because I watched Kung Fu Panda.
The Onyx Tortoise. That's a harder one.
Tank.
A champion,
tank of some kind.
I think the champion. The Onyx Tortoise would be like a champion, yeah.
It's obvious what the Sapphire Dragon is, right?
What do you think it is?
A drag queen.
Oh.
It's not a class!
It could be.
It should be, if all was right in the world.
Yeah, if everything was perfect, it'd be a class.
You're right.
If Pathfinder 2 was a good game, it would be.
No!
And here's our new class. We've got drag fighters, queen. We've got druids, we've got drag anyway. Would
Slide.
We like to play some Pathfinder?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, previously in Fists of the Ruby Phoenix, our heroes rested and relaxed for a brief while as they came to know the city of Goka a little better. Masami met with their father and discussed strange theories and hinted at some mysteries of their past we are not yet privy to. Shi Chuji trained alongside Yalvora of the Biting Roses and was able to get a bit of a talk out about their past. And Sanku, Witch Prince of the Sea, interacted with their family, who they have a completely and utterly healthy relationship with.
Yeah!
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 Following this, you all went to dinner with several sponsors to watch a performance by Razu, a great and powerful opera singer. However, also present at dinner was your sworn enemies, the Diamond Dickheads. The Lightkeepers, who were less than pleasant the entire time. When something went wrong with Razu's performance, and according to Sami's magic sense, several powerful magics clash all at once, a rift to the plane of air opened, and our heroes had to stop the problem. They did so with fists and fury and fervor and utter F-words.
And fuck.
And fuck. Chuji blinded themselves, Masami did a cool pose, Sanku sewed clothes a portal, and you were all very publicly saved the day, and have a lot of eyes on you because of it.
Yeah.
So, are we good to hop into character?
Yeah.
Okay. So, it is the morning. sun is rising over the Ruby Village. And everyone is... The week is slowly coming close to an end. You know?
Hmm.
You guys know that, like, within the next few days, you're going to need to be sponsored, you know? And you have caught the eyes of several very powerful people so far, but you're going to need to, like, nail in the best deal possible. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Right now, Kasuhida and Kyumaishai are certainly very interested in you guys, but there might be more. There might be other people who could give you a good deal. As you all stand, you can kind of, like, watch in the, like, by the river passing through the Ruby Village. You see Tino Tung, Artus of the Biting Roses, Trough Frostknuckles of Winter's Roar, and Nessir of Speakers of the Wind, all standing by the riverbank and doing calisthenics together, morning stretches. You can see the members of Steps of the Sun nearby discussing with each other as they emerge from the dining hall. And you all have some time to wake up and, you know, talk about how you're doing, what you're doing, you know? Yesterday was an interesting day for everyone. So, you know, I'm gonna ask, what is everyone doing? How is everyone holding up right now?
I like to think that there's just, like, this, like, this establishing shot. Shuji is doing whatever they're doing, and then, like, in the foreground, you can see the fucking trash can with, their their hand wraps. They're dazzling hand wraps.
Earned them fame?
Yes.
Are they not... Do they not love the gift they were given?
They don't love being blind!
But Satsumaino gave that to Shuji. For a reasonable fee.
No. That's what Shuji's gonna do today. Shuji's gonna go back to the market and beat the shit out of Satsumaino the Generous. Satsumaino the Dead.
Okay. Alright, sure. You can sure fucking try. Sanku. Witch Prince of the Sea. How are you doing today after your showdown in the opera house yesterday?
Well, now in the morning, after Senku has rested, Senku's doing pretty good. Senku's doing fine. He wakes up and I think he's in a pretty alright mood. He's just sleepy. I think he's probably just doing, like, morning preparations for, like, for, you know, magic.
Communing with your familiar?
Yeah. Okay, by communing with his familiar, he's talking.
Now, Sanku, today's exercises that you must complete, you must do these arcane multiplication tables.
I don't want to do those anymore, though.
Sanku, you must know that metamagic is an important part of any caster's time.
But I'm a witch. I thought it was wizards that deal with that.
But even a witch must know how to do their arcane multiplication tables.
Yeah,
what happens if you cross evocation and necromancy, Sanku?
I don't know, it's sick as hell.
Yeah, that is the right answer, but I don't believe you did it. I don't believe you did your work for it.
I did my work.
Masami, how are you doing? It's been a tense few days for you, I feel, right?
So... right now in the morning, I think they're kind of meditating.
Mm-hmm.
They're outside. They're probably, like, under a tree or something. And I think they're just trying to think back to the yesterday's events and the strange happenings on Danger Island.
A lot went down, didn't it?
Yeah. So... right now, I think they're just... they seem calm. They are meditating. Like, they are very neutral-faced, poised. They're... everything on the exterior is fine. On the inside, though... You know how, like, you can... in movie reels, there's, like, different scenes that have several different opacities just, like, zooming through the screen?
Yeah.
That's what's, like, going on in their head.
Oh, dear sweet Masami. So you're outside meditating? That's what
yes.
you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, then I think, funnily enough, it happens to you.
Oh, it?
Yeah, well, she happens to you.
Okay.
As you're sitting under this tree, you are jolted back to reality by a hand on your shoulder and a knock knock. And as you look up, a familiar face is smiling down at you. It is a woman wearing a sky blue kimono with cloud patterns on it. Her hair is in a short bob, and she is wearing circular glasses. And this is a woman that you came to know very well over the course of only a few days. One Hanazaki Hikari.
I think Masami blinks for a second and just, Hikari, hey! They get up from their seat. They're like, how are you doing? How have things been?
Well, very good. I'm very happy to see you again. Normally, you know, we're not supposed to stay in contact or anything. Well, it's not like they did. It's not. You can see she's stumbling over her words for a second.
At slow the down.
Very
it's
idea
okay.
of her potentially not following the rules. Egad.
Masami puts a hand on her shoulder and goes, it's okay, it's fine.
Well, I did come here for business, but also I very much so volunteered to be the one to do this business. How have you been? All of you?
Good.
Are the others inside?
Yeah, they're inside. Come on, let's go.
Sure. And she smiles a little bit. This is a much warmer person than the extremely professional and a little bit frustrated lady that you met on, like, the first day.
Yeah.
I think she warmed up to you all a lot. And I think it helps that it's you, right? Like, I think you and her have a, I don't want to say connection, but, like, you and her have, you've made friends, I think.
Mm-hmm.
As you enter, Hikari smiles and kind of claps her hands at Chuji and Sanku says, hello everyone, it's me again.
Hikari?
Hello, how are you all doing?
Great, what are you doing here?
Well, like I said to Masami, I am on business, but it's good to see you all. I heard about your encounter at the Opera House yesterday. It's all over the city's tabloids.
Is it really?
I mean, yes. A lot of the headlines are, well, not exaggerated, but certainly they embellish, I assume. I would imagine that you did not single-handedly rescue the sponsors from the jaws of several air elementals, right?
No. That didn't happen. It was a little bit different.
Nor did you pioneer your own light-based stance, Chuji?
No, I definitely...
He did.
Hi. Well, I... Did you or didn't you? I'm getting mixed replies here.
Well, I'm not giving credit to that fucker. I got shitty hand wraps.
He got scammed at the market, and then he punched in the hand wraps, blinded him.
Oh, an overdramatic curse?
Is that what that was?
Yes, when you hit someone hard enough, it'll blind you and coat you in fairy fire.
Why would anyone fucking make that?
I don't mean to be rude, but it is a curse. It's generally to curse people with.
Yeah, well, it's a shitty curse.
Hikari kind of smiles. She shoots you again, Masami, smile. I don't know that Hikari would usually be comfortable with people as rowdy as Chuji, for example. Not that she doesn't like you, but, like, having someone who's a little calmer is grounding for her, you know?
As Masami is just, like, doing the cool guy lean on the threshold of the house.
Yeah. But at the same time, I think because there was someone to ground you, I think Chuji, Hikari is extremely fond of you by now. But, like, aww. You remember how she reacted to you on the first day, right?
Yeah.
That's what this bitch doing sleeping. Hikari kind of clears her throat and she says, I do wish I could just stay here and talk forever, but I actually do have a job.
That being?
I'm here on behalf of my employer. Oh. General Kasuhida.
Oh! You work for him?
Yes. My father was a samurai, a mercenary, who helped expand General Hida's operation quite a lot, honestly. And it was true General Hida that I was able to become a enforcer on Daedra Island.
Wow.
This is silly, but I had really hoped to be there because one day I'd like to perform in the Ruby Phoenix tournament as well.
Oh, I'm sure you'll make it someday, right?
Maybe. I don't know if I have it. I have the same gumption as you do.
Nah, you can make it. I mean, hey, you're with us, then winning a team of this time.
She smiles. I think she's a little reassured, but she ruffles herself and says, "Regardless, I do have a message to read to you."
Mm-hmm.
General Hida extends his deepest gratitude for your actions at the Empress Ying Opera House last night, and wishes to invite you all for an afternoon lunch at Shellen's Comb at 1 p.m.
Oh, wow. Is he asking us out?
Are you asking my personal opinion?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
She looks almost embarrassed by that. General Hida, I don't believe, is emotionally available for a romance.
That's fair.
I don't mean to gossip, but I'm sure you know why.
Oh, yeah. Didn't he get divorced?
And her face sours. Divorce is not a word he likes to use for the topic.
Separated?
Yes, that's more like it. Have you ever been to Shellen's Comb?
What is it before I say yes or no?
So, Goka's shoreline is mostly a jagged array of docks and marinas, but one particular place is just a supreme, this extremely beautiful site in the industrial sector of Goka, in Old Town it's called. There's this beautiful series of tall basalt cliffs called Shellen's Comb.
Just like mine comb.
It looks like an actual comb dipping out of the water, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a few cafes nearby, which you would assume is where you're going to meet Wahida. And Hikari does have like an address written down. But yeah, have any of you been to this scenic place in the industrial center of the city?
I'm going to say probably not for Chuji.
Then probably not for Senku. Senku's like, I haven't. I've been to Goka before, but I haven't been there.
I think Masami might have been close by the area, but not like in there.
Mm-hmm. You've seen Shellen's Comb, but you've not like gone to the Shellen's Comb community, you know?
Yeah.
The like taverns named after it and like gift shops selling t-shirts with Shellen's Comb on it or whatever. I don't think that one's very Galarian-y, but sure, look. But I think Hikari kind of bows her head a little bit and says, one way or another, General Hida is very excited to speak to you all. I do think that he has a true fondness for you all.
You think so?
Well, yes. He spoke very, very proudly of you all, even.
Wow.
You think he wants to sponsor us?
Well, I believe that may be in his plans, but he has other teams that he is interested in as well, of course.
But at the same time, like, the way that we jumped into action immediately, especially on a night where he definitely didn't want to be there.
I personally think that it did a wonderful job in gaining his attention.
I guess we'll go then, right?
I would heavily suggest it.
Cool.
Keep our options open. Plus, he seems like a cool guy.
Lolo is on Sanku's shoulder and says, yes, Masami, you and Lord Hida seem to get on like a house on water.
Well, considering we both have a certain hyperfixation for battle tactics, doesn't surprise me.
Hikari puts a hand up as, sorry, house on water? I don't like fire as much as I like water.
I don't think you can just switch those words out all the time, though.
I can and I will.
Now, all right, Lolo.
Now, shall we prepare for an afternoon out by the sea?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Sounds like fun.
Hikari nods a little bit, and she smiles. And well, if you ever wish to speak with me again, I'll be in Goka for the foreseeable future working for General Hida. It'd be nice to catch up with you all.
Yeah. Good to know. We'll see you around.
She smiles and kind of bows her head a little bit. And she makes her way off. And you guys have some time to figure out what you're going to do today.
So we have our afternoon set.
We do.
What's wrong, Shuji? You look hesitant.
No, I'm not hesitant to go. I mean... Damn.
What's the matter?
What are you damning about?
Damn. I gotta go beat the shit out of that merchant later.
It's still the morning. The market is always open, so...
Do you think she'll be there?
Likely.
I mean, she wants to make money, right?
Most Do you think it's are... gonna look bad if I take my money back from this person through force?
You got scammed!
Yeah, but like, I don't know, what if someone's like, don't do that?
Would somebody do that?
I don't know. I mean, is it gonna look bad, yes or no?
I don't think so. It's just asking for a refund.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't do it, but also, I wouldn't do that to anybody. And
that's fair.
2G, you're allowed to beat somebody up if they mess with you.
You're right. They stand up and they pick up the thing or the wraps out of the garbage and they march on out.
Way to go, Chuji. Do you want us to come with you?
If you want to catch up, and they're walking out.
Kind of want to watch.
Do you guys want to come with?
Oh, might as well see what this merchant's like.
See the master criminal who scammed dear Chuji.
Yeah, let's see who this is.
Okay, do you guys go see the master criminal who scammed dear Chuji?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you go to find Setsumaimo the Generous. Now, I want you all to make me a diplomacy check. Because, surprising absolutely no one, her shop is not there in the same place.
here's my flat check.
Okay. I got a 36.
37.
I got a 10.
You guys spend some time asking around. It's not easy. No one seems to quite know who the hell you're talking about. Chuji, I think you're too angry to get your words out simply. But ultimately, you do find it. The tent is still the same color, but it's designed slightly differently with a lot more, like... ribbons thrown over it? Not decorated particularly well, but seemingly decorated, you know, somehow, I guess, if you want to call this decoration. And you're standing outside an unmarked store. But Chuji, you recognize it as soon as, like, Misami pulls you up and is like, hey, is this the one? You're like, that's the fucking one.
As soon as Chuji knows that that is the fucking booth, They go up to it and they slam their hands on the counter.
Oh, okay, so you're pushing in?
Yes, I'm pushing in. I'm going.
Okay. Sanku and Masami, what are you guys doing as Shuji's just marching the fuck in?
I think Sanku's staying behind. Like, he's not trying to be like, I'm also here to fight. He just wants to watch.
What about you, Masami?
Yeah, I think Masami is, again, fucking cool guy standing outside the, like, on the threshold of the tent, like, well, let's see how this goes down.
Okay. Well, you enter, and there, indeed, is Setsumaimo the Generous, and she looks up at you, and with that stupid slug yam face, she says, hello!
You fucking scammed me!
I did not!
Yes, you fucking did! You gave me these pieces of shit! They don't work right!
Welcome to Setsumaimo the Generous. Would you like to buy some wares?
I'm gonna reach over that fucking counter right the fuck now.
I don't know you.
Yes, you do! You sold me these! And they're like shaking the wraps in her face.
Oh, you're my friend. I remember you now.
Oh. Yeah, they're not actually dazzling. They're cursed. You sold me a cursed fucking item, you bitch.
First off, Wow! Secondly, you never asked if they were cursed.
Why would I ask if they were cursed? I trusted that you wouldn't sell me a cursed item!
Senku's nudges Masami and says,
did they just start singing?
Masami, who hasn't been able to stop laughing, is just like, oh man, I don't think so, dude. This is hilarious, so I'm glad I came.
You're giving me my gold bag.
I'm afraid that's impossible.
I'm afraid it's very possible, and it's gonna happen.
I can't do that for many reasons.
What the fuck do you mean? Yes, you can!
First of all, you explicitly stated you would never ask me for a refund.
I lied, just like you did!
Secondly, I never lied. I told you that these hand drops would blind.
You didn't say they would blind me!
Well, I felt that should be inferred.
Oh my fucking god. I bought them to blind someone else during combat. Why the fuck would I buy a pair of wraps that blinds me during combat? What kind of fucking masochist do you think I am?
It makes you look really cool.
That's it. Shuji reaches over the counter. Shuji's like doing the thing where, like, you know how like humans will like strangle a puppet?
Yeah.
It's that.
Yeah, she doesn't have a like trope, so it doesn't matter. She's like, blah, yeah. But there are more reasons I cannot give you my gold.
You're giving me a refund.
It's impossible.
It's not.
It is.
Just reach into your fucking money bag and give it back to me. You can have the stupid wraps back.
She slowly goes for her money bag and she hands it to you.
Thank you. It's That's empty. Not so hard, isn't
it's
it?
Empty as hell.
What the fuck?
It is empty as hell, my friend.
You spend it all already? What's wrong with you?
I bought many ribbons.
Ribbons?
You did see your ribbons on the tent when you entered.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm taking this! And Shuji grabs something random from Tetsumamu's booth.
There is a, God, what does she have? She has a ring of lies and she has a clandestine cloak.
I think Shuji would grab the ring because jewelry is expensive.
Okay, you're gonna grab the ring of lies?
Yeah.
Okay, you can double-click her and drag that onto your sheet.
Slay.
And she says, that will be 150 gold.
I'm not doing that.
Teef. 2D starts walking away. They have thrown the wraps back onto the table.
Okay. So you now have the Ring of Lies. What the fuck do you do now? You hear her still, like, monotone, Teef. Like, as soon as you've left, Shuji, she's pointing at you, Masami, and Sanku, and says, guards, arrest that Teef.
Us?
Yes.
Guards?
Yes.
Okay, we'll go get them.
Frankly, we can't do that. We're choosing.
We'll go get them!
No, it's fine. We'll follow after him. It's fine. It's fine.
You guys, like, you are now standing outside of Satsumano DeGeneres' tent. You can hear her, like, yelling, but she's not doing shit. What the fuck do you guys do?
You're under arrest.
No.
Look how!
Ow. Well, let's hope this one isn't cursed, and Shuji, like, holds the ring that they've just fucking stolen. I guess.
Well, Shuji, do you feel any different?
No. I don't feel different at all. Oh. I just feel anxious.
Oh. Wait.
Hank?
I don't. I do?
Oh my god, you're telling the truth?
Trudy takes it off.
It won't come off.
What?
Oh no.
Oh my god.
How much do you love me?
love you a lot. You're like a little brother to me.
Turns blue.
The real Shuji would never say that. They've been replaced by an imposter. Masami, kill them.
I know. What?
I haven't been replaced.
I'm just gonna try and take it off. Goddamn.
Get it off.
Masami, like, off.
I don't like to be emotionally available.
That explains a lot.
Wait, hold on. Let me look in my spell book. Hold on.
Does anyone have any soap?
Shuji, what do you think of the sea?
I think the sea is really scary.
Why are you afraid of the sea, Shuji?
Stop trying to pry into his mind.
Wait, Shuji, give me your hand. Give me your hand, let me see if this works.
Here.
Right, I'm gonna try and cast grease the way that you'd use, like, butter or soap.
I like that. Shuji, will you make me an acrobatics or thievery check?
Okay. If this stays on forever, I'll be so happy. 43.
No such luck, Ritz. You get the fuck out of there. With that grease, it slips off and clangs onto the floor.
Oh, thank God. Fuck off.
Well, I feel like this will be useful in, like, a bunch of ways, but... Wow. That was...
I didn't say anything. You didn't hear anything.
Tell me something that only the real Shichuji would know.
Kill yourself.
That's my boy.
And they're back.
Shuji just snatches the ring up. Pockets it.
Are you keeping it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it could actually come in handy.
If you can figure out a way to make this come in handy, I will be so happy.
You know I will.
Regardless, you have a cursed ring instead of cursed hand wraps by now. I will say, as you've been, like, talking and, like, doing this in the street, you have noticed that there's, like, a lot of eyes on you. There's, like, people from, like, you know, installs looking over and whispering, like, oh my god, wait, those are the Ruby Fiend? What are they called? The Radiant Riders? Something like that? All of them seem very, like, the news has apparently spread.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Let's just go home. This was a terrible idea.
Oh, you should go do other things. We don't need to go home.
Anywhere but here.
Perhaps we should make our way towards the old town so that we may make our lunch date with Kasuhida.
Sure.
Does that sound good to everyone?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, sounds fine.
Then away we go, everyone. And you all make your way down to Shellen's Cove. It is beautiful here. Like, it is a very, very nice part of town. Like I said, Shellen's Cove is in Old Town, so it is an industrial area. So a lot of the fancy architecture that you see here is not as fancy as you've seen elsewhere in Goka, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's all very practical. It's a lot of the working class people of Goka who live here, you know?
Yeah.
Versus like the richer parts of Goka, which I think I can only really describe as Splatsville from Splatoon 3 in the middle of a Splatsfest. You know, like permanent festival, music playing, paper lanterns. This is a much more down-to-earth part of Goka, you know? And certainly as you are making your way through towards the cafe that you'll be meeting Kaso at, you can see Shellen's Cove itself, and it is beautiful. Massive spikes of basalt kind of poke out of the sea, and you can see, like, water crashing against them and pulling them away. And, like, the smell of sea salt enters your lungs. And you get to a part where all these cafes are. You can tell this part is a little gentrified. Like, just a little bit, because it's got a nice view.
So Southern California.
Exactly. But, you are standing at the steps of of the way up. But, you did hear something.
Mm-hmm.
The sound of harsh bickering.
Hmm.
Contrasting sharply against the soothing ocean breeze. And, like, it's a really peaceful view. But then there's this, like, arguing. Do you want to, like, listen? Or do you want to just go up or what?
I think we should listen.
Well, what you hear is, well, all I said was that such a bold choice suits your taste. I don't see why that must cause an argument. It's always arguments here. It's like, the way that you said it was inappropriate. And to call me the general, as if you don't know me. How dare you? And he says, oh, here we go. How dare you? I dare because I choose to dare. You, on the other hand, are acting like a petulant child. Child? Excuse me, I'm not the one who did not check the reservations first. Clearly you are, because you also didn't check. What the fuck do you guys do as you're hearing this? You can definitely tell one of those is Casuhita.
Can we peek over?
You're gonna peek over?
Yeah, I'm gonna see.
You wanna see who he's arguing with?
Yeah.
Well, this is the funniest fucking thing ever. It's none other than Aldenar Unmar, the alchemical mogul, and Kasuhida's ex.
Oh my god.
Oh yes.
And you can see standing very awkwardly behind Unmar are the biting roses. Just heads kind of bowed in shame, like they did this somehow.
I think they've at least like made their way like up those like little stairs on the random little walkway, and they're like peeking over at them. Mm-hmm. She like turns back to the others and they're like, should we interrupt? They're like having an actual fucking fight.
The others look stressed out though, so I think it'd be a good idea.
Yeah, let's go.
General Hida!
As they're arguing, Hida straightens up and he turns around and claps his hands. And there they are, the Radiant Winds, my favorite team.
Hi!
And you see Unmar in the background rolling his eyes. Hida comes up to each of you and he takes your face and he kisses you on both cheeks. And he
goes
and kisses you on both cheeks. And Sanku, he goes to you and kisses you on both cheeks. And you know what? Not even Lolo's safe. And he stands and says, how are you all doing today? I trust that you all made it here in good health.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't have to... No, you know what? We will stay here. Come with me, everyone, he says, striding forward.
Sure.
Okay.
Senku waves to the biting roses.
Most of them have their heads ducked low in shame, but Lantondo, the wirewood, waves back. And Hida sits at the table. And Unmar sits at the table. Unmar says, well, we already booked in advance, so we're not leaving. Come on, everyone, don't be afraid. Sit down, it's a very big table. And Hida says, likewise, Radiant Winds, why don't you make yourselves comfortable? Come, sit. Let's share this afternoon with the Biting Roses, was it?
Yes. We know them.
Our good friends. Hi, Yarika.
Yarika smiles, and you can see it is a pained smile.
Yeah.
And Hida smacks the bench beside him and says, well, everyone, sit. This is the best cafe in all of Goka, if I do say so myself. And we did have it booked in advance, so we shall stay here.
Okay.
Sounds lovely.
Sounds great.
This is going to be painful.
How are you guys doing?
Well... Chuji hates a lot of social situations, but I think, like, Chuji is cringing. That's how Chuji is doing.
Okay. Masami, how are you doing?
Oh, man. Oh, boy. So the thing is that they're sitting, like, away from their... So the way they're sitting is that Hida is, like, between them and Chuji, and Masami's, like, on the other end of the table. So, like, they're in it.
Mm-hmm.
They're just looking through the menu. They're looking through the menu. very invested in what is going on the menu.
Yeah, damn, this menu has such a powerful storyline.
I really like the typography that they chose for the... I'm just gonna order the cake.
Sanku, what are you doing?
I think Sanku is trying to be as friendly to everyone as possible.
Well, Sanku, in your ear, Lolo says, Sanku, now's your chance.
To what?
Water is the element of romance. You can fix them.
What?
Tell me something more romantic than a date by the beach or having a picnic by a river. You can do this, Sanku. Repair their broken marriage.
What?
You can. I trust in you. Put everything I've taught you to practice.
You've taught me spells.
And I've taught you poise.
I don't see anyone lining up to date me.
Yes, but that's because, well, we'll not get into it.
What?
What's on the menu?
What?
So, damn. You all have some time to make an influence round on either Aldenart Widmar or Kasuhida. Now, to pull back the curtain. High risk, high reward.
Yeah.
You can attempt to, fix the situation, as it were.
I feel like this is a lose-win scenario. Maybe. You cannot do both in this. I think we are going to have to go with our good friend Hida, because if we are nice to his ex in front of him and try to impress his ex in front of him, I don't know if he'll like that.
Chuji, who are you going to speak to?
Honestly, I don't even think Chuji speaks to General Hida. I think Chuji's like talking across the table to Yarika.
Okay, you're like, you know what? I'm not engaging in this.
I'm not getting into this.
Yeah,
this is not for me.
So you're not even gonna try and make skill checks on either of them? You're like, nope.
Mm-mm. This is above my pay grade.
Okay, Masami, what about you?
I feel like they're both trying to do the thing where they're like one-upping each other by like, this is my team. Well, this is my team.
Oh yeah.
So I think Masami is probably gonna try to like make a good impression, and like see to try to get on like Hida's good side and probably try to turn this thing into like a good, a semi-decent meal.
Okay.
At least for one end of the table.
What about you, Sanku? What's the plan?
Sanku's plan?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that he's going to be specifically trying to get them back together, because I think that he's worried that they'll start yelling at each other. But in my head, Sanku's the kind of person who'd want everybody to get along. Mm-hmm. So I feel like he'd be trying to make that happen.
Okay, so you're trying to be a peacemaker here.
Yes.
Pulling off the rare and highly dangerous auspicizing between two Kizmaces.
So true.
Homestuck fans going wild. There was another Homestuck reference in Vessel Roll this week. There's so many Homestuck fans in the fandom. They all got the joke. Anyway. Okay. So, I think, Sanku, we can start with you, if you like, because I think that'll inform how long the rest of dinner goes off. By now, some seafood has been brought out, some little, like, prawn dishes, and the two of them are speaking, and, you know, Unmar is like, well, I chose to bring the Biting Roses here yesterday because... Sorry. I chose to bring the Biting Roses here today because, frankly, to have people from so far off as Arcadia... I feel that's the kind of representation that we should have at the Ruby Phoenix tournament. I mean, no offense to you Radiant Twins, but there have been many, many martial artists from Goku before. What makes another so different? Meanwhile here, a cultist from Arcadia. Now that's something that can be branded and marketed. And Hida kind of strains his back and says, branding and marketing perhaps, but you must recall, Unmar, and going in for the surname, You must recall that this is not a test of who is more marketable. It's a test of who's strongest. And after I was rescued by these brave fighters yesterday, while I have nothing to say but the kindest and most hopeful of words for their future in the tournament. And there's a lot of back and forth between them.
Aren't both of those things important? If we had only people from outside of Goku or even Tiansha, that would... I don't understand then why it would be held in Tiansha, but I think if we only had people from Tiansha and Goku, that would also be, like, misrepresentative of how strong people can be.
Make me a diplomacy check. This isn't either of their normal skills, but you are very much so doing diplomacy here.
Yeah, one sec, let me find them.
It's going to be a high DC, so we'll see. I think the two of them relent briefly. Like they're both taken in by what you have to say, Senku. And I think Unmar, he strokes his beard a little bit and says, very well put. What was your name? Mr. Prince, was it?
It's Senku, Witch Prince of the Sea.
Well, Senku, Witch Prince of the Sea, very well put indeed. I suppose you can't bank everything on who is most marketable. You do get an influence point on both of them. That was your high risk, high reward. You have influence Unmar, and you have influence Hida.
Well, I've done my part.
As the lunch continues, I think Yarika coughs and says, "I need to go to the bathroom." And she gets up, and as she's walking away, she's looking at you, Chuji. She's looking at you. She's looking at you.
I gotta piss too. And Chuji gets up and follows her.
Anyways.
All right.
Yarika says, "Subtle, very good."
Well, are you okay? I don't know.
What the hell is going on?
You know what's like going on between them, right?
No, why do they hate each other so much?
Oh my god, Yarika, they're divorced.
They're what?
They're fucking divorced. They're exes.
Oh.
They used to be together and it did not end well.
Well, how was I supposed to know that? We've never even been in Tiansha before, let alone go.
No, it's okay. I didn't know that shit either. Someone had to tell me.
Okay. It all started because... Alright. Came here with Unmar.
Uh-huh.
Because he was interested in Arcadian culture. And you know me, I like talking about Arcadian culture.
Yeah.
Then Hida was already here, and the two of them were immediately on the offensive against each other. They tried to be polite, but then Unmar asked Hida who he was bringing today. And when he said it was you all, I believe Unmar's exact words were, "Such a bold choice suits the general's tastes."
He called us a bold choice?
Well, first off, yes, he did. Second off, I don't believe that Hida took well to being called the general.
Wait. We call him General Hida. I mean, I guess he doesn't, only half of it.
If I were meeting with someone who I had previously been married to for many years, and they called me the occultist, I would slap them.
That's fair. Wow. Now that you say it, that's pretty fucking bad, isn't it?
It's very
bad. Those two are rough.
Especially since, to my understanding, Hida isn't a general, right? It's just a nickname?
Yeah. Wow.
This is such a headache. I just... I understand how you feel, Chuji. I just want to fight at this point.
This shit sucks. Are you guys holding up okay? Like, are you holding up okay? I know you needed to get away, and man, I fucking appreciate it too. That shit's uncomfortable.
Oh, well, Artus is just dead silent, but Lantondo seems to be loving it because, of course, Lantondo's loving it.
A little bit funny.
Do you want to head back?
Yeah, I guess, but... jeez.
You guys move, and you don't see the flickering shadows as you're leaving.
The what?
What? Anyway, Masami.
What the fuck?
Alright, okay. You can't just do that to us,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I can. It's a fucking anime trope.
Oh my god.
Fuck you.
The hold on frame for slightly too long, and you see something moving. Anyway... Masami.
Okay.
Hila has calmed down, mostly.
Oh boy.
But he's still making bitchy comments to Unmar, and Unmar's still making bitchy comments back. But they're less on fire than they were at the start, because Sanku, everyone's favorite little peacemaker, was able to kind of calm them down a little bit. But they're still, you know...
Ooh, okay, yeah. I think Masami actually goes, actually, Hida, I'm not sure if we ever finished that tactics talk back, way back when.
He looks at you with so much gratitude in his eyes.
Masami even goes back into like their back patch and goes, "I kept knocking."
Hida looks so grateful. You get the feeling that perhaps he's as sick of this as you are,
mm-hmm.
but his pride is getting him in the way. Like, is getting in the way of saying, "Okay, you know what? Maybe I should calm down."
Yeah,
he's not going to calm down.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But you being here to be like, "Hey, Hida, here's something else to do." He's like, "Oh, thank God." you saved a napkin.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been probably a lot easier if I just saved it in my journal, but there's limited space in there. And I have so many of these papers around. So, saved it.
He nods a little bit. And, like, he's saying this as Unmar, I think, is discussing with Artis. So there is, like, a brief pause between crosstalk. and do you want to make me an athletics roll, please?
Sure.
You know what, Masami? I think he's generally so grateful for you intervening and, you know, talking about something that he can actually handle. You have maxed out Castle Hida's influence.
Whew.
He is very fond of you.
Okay, awesome.
And very grateful. and he's kind of, he's got the napkin as... So, essentially, what I'm saying, though, is that numbers are not going to win. Yes, if you have a particularly large army, that's always going to be a tactical advantage. But what matters is being smart.
Right. It's the general nature of quality over quantity. Like, sure, you have the numbers, but at the same time, your numbers will heavily dwindle if, say, they're all farm boys that have no experience.
Quite. And remember, of course, that surprise is a key element when it comes to combat.
Oh, of course.
To catch someone off guard, to ambush them, it can turn the tide of battles. If you catch an enemy force while they're preoccupied with something, then you have essentially already won half the battle. Because by the time that they've, you know, gotten into a fighting stance and gotten into the strategy for it, you've already taken five steps beyond them. And you're winning.
Right. If an enemy is always going to be on the back foot, then there's only a matter of time before they stumble or are up against a wall.
Exactly. No matter what your tactic is, your first tactic, Masami, must be to never be caught off. And as he's saying that, there's a flash of shadows. And something is jumping out onto the field and going for Unmar.
Okay.
At first you think it is literally a shadow.
Uh-huh.
But it is not. It is cloaked by wings of darkness. A horrific, skeletal, alien-like creature appearing to be burning from within. A flaming glow shining through its emaciated chest. Among this gaunt being's most prominent features are shimmering black wings, sharp talons, and yellow eyes that radiate a lambent malice.
Okay.
And Masami, you recognize these things instantly.
Mm-hmm.
These are Ankus. So this creature, as it like flies out with like almost silently, I think that's what catches you off guard the most, is how dead quiet it is. It looks like a rib cage attached to a long spine. And coming out of that rib cage then are two long taloned hands. And a almost draconic head with horns. Its wings are like almost like gaseous, you know, like bat wings, except instead of skin, it's clouds. The thing is completely dark and shadow-like, except for its insides, which through the cracks in its ribs and its spine, you can see it's almost like glowing from the inside with like fire. And as this thing swoops down, Masami, you know what this thing is. I know what the others, but you know what this thing is.
Okay.
This is an Anku. Anku are a type of fey creature, most commonly used for assassination cases.
Hmm.
Often they will be hired by assassins to carry out hits, and evidently, you're witnessing one happening right fucking now.
Alright.
As it swoops down on Unmar, before Hida can even say anything, a second one is flying down, and then two more. Yarika hops to her feet and grits her teeth, and so does Artus and Lantondo. And you guys, we're gonna roll initiative real fast.
Okay.
Okay.
Dice Wall Roll will return after these messages.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
We now return to Dice Will Roll.
28.
34. Someone roll a 20?
Nope.
No.
No. Okay. Dave, do you want to roll initiative?
There it is.
Well, there's the nat 20.
Okay!
Did you peek into the fucking future?
I guess I did. Sorry, I saw a nat 20. I was like, oh, someone got it. And then, no, none of you did. And then Sanku did, I guess. Well, Sanku, you are top of the order. You have four actions. These two giant bat-like creatures are swooping down on Hida. And then two more are jumping down on Unmar. But it looks like the Biting Roses are taking on those two. The two that are coming down on Hida, however, you don't know what the fuck to do. What?
Isn't it funny, though?
What's kind of funny?
They're grouped together, though, right? Like the two?
Yeah.
Each are grouped together. Mm-hmm. Senku is going to use an elemental betrayal on the ones that they're fighting.
Okay.
Or one of the ones that they're fighting.
Alright.
With fire.
Fire? Uh-oh. Well.
And then I'm going to use scattered fire.
Okay. Senku, you wave your staff in the air and a marker appears over one of the Ankus. However, as you're like waving your staff, glittering fireworks explode out, and they're both going to need to make reflex saves, right?
Yeah. Then they all save.
Okay, so they'll all take half damage, but one of them is going to be elemental betrayed, so you'll do an extra 8 damage to them, but roll damage anyway. Let's see how much damage you're going to do as they're swooping out of the way.
Half of 35.
Okay, that's 18 damage to each of them, and then on top of that from the elemental betrayal, that's going to be an extra 8 damage to the lower one or the higher one?
The lower one, sure.
Okay. So, Sanku, you hit both of these things. They're still flowing down towards Hida. You have one action left. What do you do? You see, though, their heads snap up and they're looking at you now. They've realized you're a threat.
I think he's going to just take a 5-foot step here.
Okay.
Like, a little, so he's between everybody.
Okay.
Or at least so that he can, he's a clear shot between everybody if he needs.
Okay, so you're actually standing at the very edge of the table?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. It is now the Anku's turn. The one who is less damaged is gonna go for Hida. And he spends two actions just mauling at Hida. And Hida's fighting back and yelling, oh, no, no, no. But he's a strong guy, you know? So he's not, like, instantly eaten up or anything. But you can tell that if that thing is not stopped, Hida will be killed. So don't let that happen. The other one flies directly for you, Senku. And it hisses as it, like rolls towards you. As it's flying, it's going to just go for a wing attack. And that is going to be a 46 to hit, Senku.
Okay, that's a crit.
Okay. Well, Senku, that is going to be 46 damage to you as it cuts into you hard. And as it does so, Senku, you start bleeding blue blood from yourself. Ouch! You're going to take 2d6 bleed damage. It is then going to hiss and go for a claw attack against you. And that is going to be a 36 to hit.
That also hits.
Okay.
It's a regular hit, though.
It brings down its winged claw into your flesh, Senku, and does 23 damage to you.
Okay.
You are hurt pretty badly, but that is the end of its turn. Next in the order is going to be Masami. Masami, one of these Ankus, and you know what this thing is. It is going for Hida.
They're immediately going to go for a distracting spell strike.
Okay, go for it.
So...
Masami, you jump to one side and you kind of catch his attention, and it doesn't even notice that you're actually attacking from the other side. What are you attacking with?
They're attacking with their sword, the Jokuto.
Okay. Well, make me the spell strike. Go for it.
38.
38 is going to be a hit. Roll damage. And what's this spell strike you're loading up?
The spell strike is Electric Arc, which goes on to the target next to it.
Oh, very
so
smart.
That they need to make a reflex save.
Okay.
Okay, it succeeds because 33 is my DC.
Okay, but it'll still take half damage.
Yeah.
So how much does the one next to you take, and how much does the one beside him take?
The one next to me takes 22 electric damage.
Okay.
And then the beside him takes 11.
And that's also, he also takes 38 slashing damage from your Chocto, right?
Yes.
So this Anku that you're fighting is already, you can see he's kind of fucked up. The other one, however, who is, you know, chomping down on Sanku, is still looking mostly fine.
Mm-hmm.
You have one action left. What do you do?
Arcane Cascade, electricity.
Okay. Masami, lightning starts to jolt through you as you prepare to take on this horrible creature who has come to kill your sponsor. Shuji, it's your turn. Jesus fucking Christ.
Jesus, yeah. Man. Shuji's gonna enter Stoke's Flame Dance for okay. Free. And just start wrecking shit, I guess. Fight at the dinner table.
Are you going for the one that's like currently mauling Senku, or are you gonna go for one that's trying to assassinate Hida?
I think Shuji cares a lot more about Senku than Hida.
Okay, fair
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that.
No offense to Hida, it's just, you know.
No offense, I just don't care.
It's also, he's like a brother to you. You said so yourself earlier. Shut the fuck up.
They didn't say that wasn't true, it was a lie. They're gonna 3-action 1-inch punch, see how sturdy these guys are.
Okay.
I rolled a 35.
Well, a 35 would normally be a miss. Except, you are flanking him. So how much damage is that?
That's gonna be 48 damage.
Okay, Shuji, you chop into this thing, and the weird creature lets out a screaming hiss. And it kind of like flaps its wings, and it's now turning to look at you. That's your turn, right?
Yeah. Does it look bad? How's it looking?
It don't look great. You seem to have like knocked it in some window of it, but it's still got like a good chunk of health left, you know?
Hmm.
As you're all fighting, you can see Yarika, Artus, and Lantando are going against theirs. Artus and Lantando, you know, through a combination of cards and arrows, are taking on one. But then, like, you see Yarika standing, hands clapped together, as a ghostly mantis-headed man goes into hand-to-hand combat against this thing. Senku, it's your turn. Ow! What do you do?
I'm going to use an action and change the thing. I'm not going to use Elemental Betrayal this time. I'm just going to use Tidal Rings on the one closest to me.
Okay. Well, make me that spell attack roll.
45.
A 45 is actually going to be a crit.
Cool.
This thing is immobilized. Sanku, as you wave your staff around, it is completely and utterly grabbed by your attack. It can't do anything except for try to escape.
Well, that's really cool, because then I'm going to cast Hydraulic Push.
Uh-oh.
I assume we're not going to have 50,000 fights today, so I don't mind using an 8th level spell.
As a heads up, this will be at a minus 5, because it has been drawn to my attention that Tidal Rings, it is a spell attack roll, and this is also a spell attack roll, so there is a multiple attack penalty. But because he's flat-footed, it doesn't really matter as much.
Oh, 39.
A 39 is gonna be a hit.
Sick. On a success, they're knocked back 5 feet, but everybody's in a line.
I would let you do fall damage into the next Sanku, which would be 5 damage to both of them.
Epic.
So roll me that damage. Jesus!
60 damage.
Yeah, okay, a spray of water blasts this Anku, and he knocks into the other Anku, who's also knocked back. So they're all knocked 5 feet back. The one that's terrorizing Hida is no longer terrorizing Hida. The one that's terrorizing you is no longer terrorizing you. And they both take 5 damage. You can see that the Anku that you are fighting is badly injured. He is not nice. Looking hot. The other one is still coping, but, you know, all in good time, right? Sanku, is that your turn? You still have this guy grappled.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it is the Anku's turn now. Hida is stumbling back a little bit. Oh, and Sanku, by the way, you took 9 bleed damage, and you're still bleeding.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. It is now the Anku's turn. The one that is in a hydraulic, in a tidal ring, Sanku, it hisses. And I think it's going to just try to break out. So it's going to make an acrobatics check to kind of like swing its way out of this ring of bubbles that's binding it. And that's going to be a 43 against your spell DC, Sanku.
My spell DC?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that works.
Okay. It fights and it pushes and it is no longer immobilized. And it hisses at you. But because it's 5 feet away, it can't attack you. So instead, it's going to do something fucking terrifying. Its shadow splits off from its body. And then that shadow swirls a little bit. And then it becomes another Anku. A fully fledged extra Anku. And this other Anku hisses at you. And that one is going to bite you. So Sanku, does a 43 hit?
Yeah, it hits.
Okay, well, it comes down at you with its fangs, and that's going to be 26 damage from a turd Anku, which is now here. Now, you can see that this Anku is probably a minion, so it has less HP, it doesn't have certain abilities that the other one has, but it is another one here, which is annoying. Cool, right?
Epic.
Lolo says, Sanku, watch out! Another Anku!
So true.
Thanks, Lolo!
The Anku, which had been knocked back into and was fighting against Masami, it hisses, and it turns to you, Masami, and it starts casting a spell! It's gonna cast Prismatic Spray! A spray of rainbow light cascades from its mouth, and it's gonna blast into you.
I have attack of opportunity. No, he doesn't.
Yeah, okay. Make me an attack roll. Let's see.
40.
Okay, a 40 is going to be a hit. Not a crit, so it's not going to stop him from casting the spell, but you do hit him. Do you want to roll damage?
Damage is 29.
Okay, 29 damage. You do that. You can see that it is now also badly injured. The two main Ankus are both looking pretty hurt. This assassination attempt is not going as nicely as they might have liked.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, it is casting the spell on you. And let's see what beam of light blasts into you. That's going to be a 4, a green beam. Masami, you need to make me a fortitude save.
Okay. 42 with Juggernaut.
Damn it. Yes, Masami. That is a critical success. How does this look? Let's see. This shadow creature turns, like, starts charging up this horrible light beam attack that it blasts into you, only for you to, like, throat chop it, and then when it actually unleashes into your face point blank, you don't even flinch. That poison damage is against you? Nah, man, not even a little bit.
Yep.
You take nothing.
Ha.
Dianku hisses in your face, and with his last action, I think it's just going to try to claw you. Dianku hisses in your face, and with his last action, I think it's just going to try to claw you. And that is going to be a 33, Masami.
33 does not hit.
33 don't hit? Okay. Yeah. You duck out of the way as this thing's claw bashes into the cobblestone beside you. And that is its turn. Masami, it's your turn now. That's great.
That's fucking wonderful. Spell strike again because I got it refreshed.
Yeah, from Arcane Cascade. Go for it. Hit him. What's it? What's the spell strike? What are you going with?
This spell strike is actually going to be Undermine Reality. A level 8 spell.
Holy shit, okay.
Okay. Alright. That's a 30. I'm actually gonna just use my fucking hero point.
Yeah? What do you roll?
I roll a 36 instead.
Well, a 36 is better than the 30, and a 36 is a hit. Roll damage.
26 damage.
From the Chocoto, okay.
From the Chocoto, and then...
The fuck does Undermine Reality do?
You lash a target with tendrils of shadow that steal some of its substance, making it quasi-real. As long as it is quasi-real, its strikes deal half damage and can't critically succeed at any skill check.
Oh,
and
my God.
Creatures attempting saving throws against its spells and effects get a result in 1 degree of success better than they rolled. Target must attempt a will saving throw.
Okay. I think I do need to actually make this will save, because this is an incapacitation effect.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically this is an extremely powerful spell that can completely fuck someone up.
Yep.
Wait, actually, it's lower level than you, so the incapacitation will not affect it. Lol.
Mm-hmm.
So it will... I'll still roll, let's see. Wait, how does that work? Yeah, no, actually, if the incapacitation doesn't affect it, it just happens.
Yep.
Cool. Hey, Masami.
Yeah.
Dianku starts to fade out of reality a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, just kind of transparent, and it hisses. And it's real, but it's also not completely real.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of each of its turns, it can make another will save. Jesus, okay, so it's basically just... Wow. Everything it does, it'll do half as well. That's crazy strong.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Is that your turn? Or no, you have one action up, right?
I have one action. So...
Yeah, what is it?
Doing a bit of damage, plus refreshing my spell strike. Dimensional Assault. I make another strike.
Okay, you fucking teleport behind him and attack.
I teleport to the side of him, because that's going to flank. That's going to put me in a flanking position.
Got it. Well, go, get his ass.
A 29.
A 29 is unfortunately going to be a miss, Masami. This Anku, like, dodges out of the way, but you still went through the... You still cast a spell, so you still get your focus point back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The creature hisses in your face, but, like, it's kind of muffled as it does so, because, again, it's not entirely real.
Yep.
And is that your turn?
Yes.
Okay. Chuji, it's your turn. There's another one.
I don't love that. But I do have a neat little move for when there's multiple enemies around me. I'm going to Blazing Strike with my whole turn.
Okay, go for it.
Get to strike twice, making attacks to up to 4 enemies. So Chuji's going to move right here, hit this one next to Senku.
Okay.
That one's a 39.
39 is a hit. Roll damage.
That one gets 24.
Okay, 24 damage. You can see that this minion is... It doesn't have a lot of HP to start. So 24 is a lot of damage to it.
And Juju's going to stride over to the other two and punch him real quick.
Go for it.
Ooh, 32.
32 is a miss, unfortunately. Wait, no, hold on. That's a hit, because you are flanking. Because technically, on the other side, Artus Rodrivan is fighting against the others.
That's 29 damage against that one.
Okay, go for it.
And then last one, Jesus, 32.
A 32 yep. Also, again is a hit because you are flanking with Masami.
Slay. 24 damage to that one.
Okay. That Anku, the one that has been dueling against Masami that you just hit at the end, that is doing particularly bad. Like, it does not have much HP left at all. Is that your turn?
Yeah.
Okay. Senku, it is your turn. There are a lot of these guys, and they're all very badly hurt. What do you do?
I think he's going to cast Elemental Betrayal.
Okay.
On The one that's badly injured.
Okay, the one that had been fighting you originally, the one that split off the other Anku. Got it.
And then I'm going to use a Horizon Thunder Spear.
Okay, how many actions are you going to cast for Horizon Thunder Spear?
Two.
Okay, go for it. So, are you using lightning damage on this one?
Yeah, or I think it's electricity is what it's called.
Yeah. Okay, well, charge up the Horizon Thunder Sphere. You're not, like, taking fucking ages to blast it like usual. You just, like, kamehameha, and, like, fucking blast it into him.
I think it's because it's already pretty hurt.
Yeah. So, with two actions, the spell has a range of 30 feet, and it does... Yeah, you'll be able to hit him. You don't need to do a huge blast this time. Make me that spell attack roll.
36.
A 36 is a hit. What level are you casting this at?
Fifth level.
Okay. So at fifth level, that would be...
11d6, I think.
Yeah, well, with 11d6, that's going to be how much damage?
39.
Okay, Sanku, plus 8, that's going to be 47, yeah? Sanku, how do you do this?
I've always imagined that most of his magic, he concentrates it to his staff instead of his palm, even though he could.
Yeah.
So I think that he, like, I think he points the staff in front of him, holding on it with, like, both hands. And I think it's sort of like, you know when you, not that you'd know this firsthand, Derry, but you know how when you shoot a really, like, heavy gun, it, like, has recoil?
Yeah.
I think that, like, the ball of, like, electric energy, shoots out and he, like, has to take a step back. And I just think it, like, explodes into the Anku, yeah.
Okay. And explode it does. It vanishes in a hiss of smoke. And when it does so too does that minion. The turd Anku vanishes into a blast of ashes. And now there's only the one left that Shuji and Masami are tag-teaming the fuck out of.
Nice.
Nice work. Sanku, you take 6 bleed damage, and that is your turn. It is the Anku's turn. This Anku is near death. And it hisses, and I think it is going to go for you, Masami.
Okay.
And it's going to wing attack you. And that is a 45 to hit.
Hit. Just a hit. Holy shit.
Not a crit.
No.
Okay. Well, as it slashes into you, that's 20 damage, okay. And its wing is, like, metallically solid for a second. And it cuts through you like a knife through raw chicken. And you start bleeding. That's 2d6 bleed damage.
Okay.
It then hisses, and it's gonna go for you, Chuji, with a claw attack. That is a 41 to hit.
41 hits.
Okay. He just lunges at you with his claws, and that's 27 damage.
Okay.
And lastly, it is going to try to fly away. Assassination attempt failed. It's getting out of here. Whoosh.
Wait, that's movement, though.
God fucking damn it.
That, and that's both of us, too. Hang on.
No!
Yeah. Hey, I get one also.
Yeah, you both get
we
one.
We both
God
get one,
it.
Yeah.
Go for it.
33, then.
33, and Chuji?
38.
Okay. Both those are going to be hits. Roll me that damage.
28 and 27.
How did the two of you kill this thing in sync?
How do you want to tag team this? How do you want to do a team attack?
I think that they both see it try to get away at the same time, and Chuji and Masami give each other, like, you know, that look. And I think that Masami should use, like, Chuji as kind of like a stepping stool, because, like, Chuji, like, jumps up into the air, kind of like punching at it, and I think Masami should use their Chocoto.
Oh, get at
you
the
know,
legs?
Kind of catapulting off of Chuji. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Chuji, you leap. You propel Masami into the air with a fire punch. And Masami, you rocket forward and smash through this thing. A projectile launched by Chuji. And the two of you kind of strike a cool pose as this thing explodes into ashes. And only seconds later, you see Yarika and Grandfather Mantis rip apart one of them. And Artist Rudrivan shoots a arrow through a Harrow card into the final creature. And all is quiet. Holy shit.
Holy shit.
Holy shit.
Okay, is everyone okay?
Ouch.
Hira and Unmar both kind of stand up, shaky, and you can see that they are, like, holding each other a little bit. Like, Hira has his hands on Unmar's shoulder and around his side, and the two of them look very shaken.
Are you okay?
They immediately stop doing that. Hira coughs a little bit and says, whatever those things were, they got me good, but thankfully we had you guys here. If I had been alone, I don't know if I would have survived that. And more huffs, oh, for God's sake, you would have been fine. You always carry those swords with you. But I am very grateful. You saved our lives. All of you. He looks at everyone and, you know, the Biting Roses nod a little bit. And Eureka says, truly, if all six of us hadn't been here, this could have been a disaster. What were those things? Have you ever seen them before?
Yeah, what the hell?
Unmar and Hira look at each other and they both shake their heads, and Hira says, this may be a surprise, but I've never had an attempt on my life before. I don't know what I would have done to get someone after me, but certainly they sent some powerful assassins. These things don't just roam through Goka, I assume, so I can only imagine that that was why they came from me and Aldenar first.
That's really weird.
How are you guys all doing?
Masami does not look okay. They are keeping their mouth shut.
Would this have to be something that the others make a perception check for?
Yeah.
Would you like the others to make a perception check?
Yeah.
Okay, everyone. You heard the lady. Yeah, like a fucking hawk. Masami, your deception DC is high. Both of these guys rolled 19s.
Okay.
Both of you immediately can tell that Masami is not doing okay.
Hey, you alright?
I know what those were.
What? Do you?
Anku.
I think Eureka perks up a little bit. Anku, yes, I've heard of them. They're Fey assassins, aren't they? I've never seen one in person.
Because if you had, you wouldn't live to tell it.
The Biting Roses look a little for a moment.
They show up in groups and do their job for a reason. Why they're out in the open, I don't know, but...
Lantondo raises hands as, if I may...
Go ahead.
Assuming that perhaps Lord Unmar and General Hida were the targets, and we had been left alone with them and they were killed and then they vanished, well, who would have been held responsible?
Oh.
We would have been framed.
What in the heck?
Which means whoever is doing this knows what they're doing.
Artis scratches his head a bit and says, but doesn't that seem a little much? Why would they do this?
Maybe they have something against the Ruby Phoenix, don't I? Or the Ruby Phoenix herself or something?
What do you guys do?
Sank is like, okay, hold on. I need to heal. I got really hurt.
Oh, yeah, let's get you healed up.
It's okay. I got it. Senku's going to cast heal.
Okay, you are you using your staff of healing to heal yourself up?
Yep.
Okay.
Third level works, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So Senku, you restore yourself some HP. Just, you know, popping off a few bubbles from your staff. I think Unmar stands and says, well, I do thank you all for coming to this lunch, but I'd say it's probably best that Hida and I return to our security camp cells.
That's fair.
Would you say that again?
That's fair.
Hida nods and says, thank you all, you were most impressive today, but perhaps it's best that we keep this one silent. Considering, and he kind of turns and smiles at you, Chuji, the press attention that's on you already, I don't know that it would be wise for the general public to know that there was a high-profile assassination attempt. Though certainly I will pass on this news to the Ruby Phoenix herself, and I'll make sure that she knows just that what happened today. And
very quick about that. Make sure you're not alone. Have a guard with you. Have several guards with you, just in case.
Well, yes, I wouldn't go anywhere without my guards, but yes.
That goes for both of you, actually. As they look at Umar.
Yeah, I think he nods a little bit. And I will say, they both would have gotten an influence point, but you already maxed out Hida. Umar has another influence point. He is very impressed by you guys saving his fucking life.
Mm-hmm.
He nods a little bit and says, yes, quite. With that, shall we disperse for the day?
Yeah.
He nods, and he and Hida walk out, not bickering anymore, all things considered. But hey, it's only a matter of time.
I think they have more pressing things to think about.
Yeah. Before they leave, Yarika walks up to all of you and says, so, what are you thinking?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think that those H-pop artists were working on their own.
Sorry.
So they'd be really
H-pop artist?
The Devil's ones Deuce. Who... Yeah, the ones who attacked the Ruby Phoenix?
Yes. What about them?
I just don't think that they were working on their own. I think it would be really dumb.
You actually came in later than we did. You didn't see what happened.
No.
They attacked the Ruby Phoenix with a disintegration staff and killed her. In front of everyone.
Well, that's not nearly as subtle as what happened here.
No.
And they were captured, but we saw their wanted posters in Goka, out in the market.
Lantondo rubs their wooden chin and says, how can we be certain? I had seen these posters and I had heard that they were former contestants, but I also heard that they drowned.
Well, what if those people that they were working with? I mean, I don't know. That's just my theory, though.
And the artist raises a hand and says, well, then doesn't that beg the question?
Who?
Who are they working with?
I don't know.
Wasn't the Ruby Phoenix tournament tampered with the last time?
Chuji looks at Masami.
The Golden League is smarter than that, though. And the one who was previously part of the Golden League, who tried to cheat their way through, became an enforcer, and is very reluctant about what he did to a loud degree. They know to step away from this.
I actually want you guys to make me a perception check.
All of us?
Yeah.
I'm looking.
Okay, Senku, I think you see it while the others are kind of talking. You're like, after a while, and everyone's talking about all this serious, boring stuff, and you're like, ooh. And your attention kind of slips, and you're like, ooh. Because you see something shiny.
Mm-hmm.
In the ashes of the creature that was destroyed. Ooh, what's that?
Oh.
Pick it up. What is it?
Senku picks it up. What is it?
It's a little coin.
A coin?
Yeah, a little silver coin.
Hmm.
A coin.
Huh?
Oh, I found treasure. I think the Enku dropped this.
Oh?
It seems to be a coin of platinum.
Was this its payment?
But there's something... Oh. It's slightly bent. The coin itself is of a... It's like got a tower in the middle, almost like a lighthouse, with the middle hollowed out. Like, you know the way that Korean coins have, like, a little square hole in the middle?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, like, inset into this lighthouse. It's not a coin you've ever... Like, you've never seen any coins like this before. Except maybe you, Chuji.
Yeah?
Do you want to make me... I'll let you roll a Ruby Phoenix lore check. Not because it has to do with the Ruby Phoenix, but because you worked in a museum and it's Ruby Phoenix stuff, you know what I mean?
29.
Okay, yeah, you actually do know that this looks like it's a coin from Hwanggo, Fantasy Korea, where H-Pop is from. Mm-hmm. Although, this particular coin seems to be about 300 years old. Definitely not in circulation anymore. Hwanggo was not a nice place 300 years ago. There were a lot of bad, bad people. And, you know, that currency was mostly pulled afterwards because they wanted to distance themselves from their not-so-great past of despotism and tyranny.
Yeah.
You know, like, once the bad guys were kicked out, they were like, let's not use the bad guys' coins.
Yeah. Shuji, like, gets up close to it, and they're like, That's a historical coin from Hwanggo.
What?
That's like 300 plus years old. Like, that's...
What?
Look at it.
Oh, it's... I mean, it was old.
Yeah, but, like, that's... That was one of Hwanggo's not-so-great leaders from way, 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 way long ago. That's an old fucking coin. They don't use this anymore.
Then why did they use this? Maybe it's like a calling card, like the bad guys in novels.
It seems to be an expensive calling card if it's made of platinum.
I don't know, maybe they're rich bad guys.
Shuji, were all the coins of this era bent like this?
Not that I know of. Yeah, no, someone bent this on purpose. This isn't like a...
It's not bent, I'll say. It's warped, I think is the best way of putting it.
No, this isn't like a bending situation. Or, I guess, they didn't do this with their coins. They were flat, mostly. This one's weird. I guess it wasn't treated too well.
Masami, is your magic sense on?
It's always on.
Damn, that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
This coin smells of conjuration.
Conjuration.
You know.
Magic.
Like teleportation magic?
That's... It has hints of conjuration on it.
Eureka looks up at you guys as you're like talking about conjuration and ancient Hwanggo coins, and she's like, I'm not following. I'll be 100% clear. I'm not following.
Can I ask you guys something first?
Certainly, yes.
On Danger Island, did you ever encounter a portal just opening up at your base or wherever you were?
Her eyebrows raise and the two of them look at each other and then they look back at you. And... they shake their heads. Eureka says, no, nothing like that ever happened to us.
Really?
No, nothing. Really, the strangest thing that happened to us was at one point there was this bird that came out and tried to steal from us.
Like a big bird? Like a really big bird?
Yes. It was like almost like an ostrich mixed with a heron. Judy, your blood starts to boil.
The one that stole.
It's that fucking bird.
Fucker.
An artist puts up a hand. There was the sword robot.
Sword robot?
Yes, it was a robot that was made of swords.
Okay.
But Lantondo shakes his head and says, aside from that, no, there was nothing like... No, what do you mean?
On the island, on the south of it, we found a makeshift teleportation camp. Dead set deep in conjuration magic. And even our enforcer said that it wasn't regulation. And it was conjuration magic that was very similar to the Ruby Phoenix herself.
I think all of their eyes light up a little bit, and Eureka almost looks like surprised and says, wait, are you saying this is a test by her?
That's what we thought this the night that we found that teleportation camp, because as we were sleeping, there was a portal, and what came out were droves of terracotta soldiers. Ones that aren't even made anymore.
Three of them look at each other, and Eureka hums and says, that doesn't seem fair to do. To attack you in your own base while you're sleeping?
Yeah, we just woke up and they were there.
At some point we brushed it off thinking it was a test because we didn't really want to believe that the Ruby Phoenix was into any of this. And then the night of the opera. At that time, I couldn't have my magic sense on because there was just so much magic in there that I couldn't even breathe. But it all clashed, and the same sort of portal opened. And it was a portal that was closed together by a thin thread. Something very characteristic of the Ruby Phoenix.
Ash just puts up a hand. He keeps doing this whenever he has something to say. There is something that must be considered. Why the hell would Hao Jin do any of that?
That's what makes no sense. I don't think she would.
There's no motive.
There's no motive.
That's why it's so
It's
weird.
All over the place, but it's all... It's very similar to her magic signature. Every one of us has one. Mine is my shadows.
Eureka nods and says, well, from what I know, there's no one in the world who can hold a candle to Hao Jin's magic.
I know.
Not a single person can imitate her.
I know, which makes this all the bit concerning. I don't know if this is the right angle to think of it from, considering there are other people involved. As they gesture to the ashes.
Then we have to find out who they are, right? Once we find out who they are, we can help. We can stop this from interfering with the tournament itself. Because ultimately, that's of course what's going to happen, right? The hammer has to drop eventually.
And...
So once we know who is behind it, then we can take the next step.
And this is where Masami looks conflicted.
Do the rest of you want to make a perception check?
Of course.
Yeah.
I think Eureka will also make a perception check. Okay. All three of you notice Masami's conflicted.
Hmm.
Are you okay?
If he wants you one on this so badly, then I guess I have no choice. There's something I haven't been telling you.
Do we want to end the episode there?
You're evil. You're fucking evil.
That is completely evil.
It is your choice.
Oh, man. God. Part of me kind of wants to.
You set up.
Part of me kind of wants to, but. Oh. I think they kneel down to the ashes and put a hand in. They put a hand in the pile that very gradually turns into a fist. It takes them a while to ask this question because they've been hiding it for their entire life. What do any of you know of the ninja clans in Tianxia?
That is where we're gonna end it today.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, shit. You scared me.
This episode of Dice Will Roll would not have been possible without the support of our patrons. Tony Saunders, Dasha Clancy, Ari Graham, Giratina, Nex, Minty Belmont, GP Dora, Lemon Jam Tart, Marshmallowberry, Sarissa, Ferrick Falcon, Luis Loza, Ares, Alexander Criswell, Skyly, Lurst Hellion, Kendra West, Ginley Trick, Transgirl Trish, Platonic, Bal Punyan, Johnny the Catman, Nachi Wilson Krasnich, Killen Shark, Theorin, Glitch HD, Jay Snoots, Zenith Drums, Torbjorn, Sophia Varlera, G Barbera, Luke, Gideon, Sarah B, Seth, Ravona Darkglow, Delore, Kira, Lichelop, Gizmo, Machi, Cass, Bale McAbuff, Ava, Chris Lutman, Renthy Bright, Ronson Chunk, Steph, Sean C, Natasha Lumley, Rihanna C, Ellie, Jenna Mitchell, Kane Kendrick, Triceratops, Rei Kitsune, and Maria, Roxy, Jordan, Cynical Spinstress, Emily Laderna, John DePocorder, SS66 Seeker, Dame Valerie the Turk, and Dame Valerie the Turk. If you'd like to see what you can get for helping us keep it rolling, check out patreon.com/dicewillroll today, and make sure to vote for us in the Audioverse Awards 2022.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.